Breaking news today on Seculo as a key Democrat squad member loses their primary.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, welcome to Seculo. A lot of politics to talk about today. We want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. Are you one of those weird people who supports Donald Trump and J.D. Vance? I guess, again, the whole conservative movement is weird because we aren't campaigning with enough joy about, you know, the economy, inflation, the fact that people can't buy homes, they can't, you know, first, people can't retire, the interest rates, the amount of money people are spending at the grocery store and at the gas station. This is continuing for years. Or how about the ongoing wars in Ukraine and Russia, and one that could break out between Iran and Israel? So, I mean, again, you always want to fight to get to joy, but you got to fight to get there. You got to do a lot of work to get our country back to a sense of joy. You are gaslighting the American people right now if you think right now is just a joyous time in the United States of America. It doesn't mean you don't have great times with your family and happy times where you can kind of try and forget the woes of the world. But when you're at the ACLJ or our European offices, or you're stationed in our ACLJ Jerusalem office as well, you can't ignore reality either. So I thought what we saw last night, we'll talk about it later more, with the Tim Walz finally, you know, making his first appearance with Harris as her running mate. This idea that we're somehow weird because joy is not back. Again, they're weird if they think joy is burning down cities and being anti-Israel and making nice with China, thinking that China can be our friend when China has said, we don't want to be your friend. But there is some positive news that we're seeing at a primaries. And I think it's important that we do have a little joy on our side. So we've seen in primaries both now, we've seen it with Jamal Bowman, who was kind of a newer member of the squad. Remember, he pulled the alarm, fire alarm in the House of Representatives. He was beaten in a primary. But Cori Bush, who was a much more high-profile member of the squad, lost her primary last night in St. Louis to Wesley Bell, who was a much more moderate, pro-Israel Democrat. I mean, he ran with receiving funding from pro-Israel groups. He didn't try to hide that. He didn't run away from that. I'm sure I disagree with him on lots of issues, but the fact is he's not an anti-Semite, and he's not someone who is threatening the state of Israel. When Cori Bush lost, Will, she immediately went to, and we'll get to when we come back from this break. I want to save it for the next segment, but she immediately went to threatening. That's what they've all done, too. When the squad members lose, they threaten anybody who didn't support them in what's supposed to be a free and fair and open election in America. We're not supposed to threaten our opponents.
That's right. And she went pretty extreme in her rhetoric after losing her primary last night. Once again, you said this was a squad member, so of the more liberal side, as far left as you can go in Congress. And we'll play her comments when we come back. But I think what I also want to know from the audience is if they see this as almost a bellwether, now that you've seen two far, far left congressmen and women lose their primaries because of their ideology. And now that you see that Vice President Harris has doubled down on that wing of the party with her pick of Tim Walz, who was tweeting pictures celebrating Ilhan Omar in Congress, and her tweeting a picture of them together is celebrating that he's the VP pick. When she has doubled down on that wing of Congress, is that a winning formula for her? Or what do you think? Call us at 1-800-684-3110, and we'll get to your calls later in the broadcast.
Our Life and Liberty Drive has been extended. Please have your gift doubled through our Life and Liberty Drive at aclj.org. Thanks to your support, we'll be able to continue fighting for freedom here and at home and around the globe. We're battling a FOIA lawsuit with the Biden-Harris administration on the funding of UNRWA. We're about to get to those facts. Go to aclj.org, have your donation doubled. We'll be right back with this radical rhetoric. not too secular. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But to hear the radicalism, and again, to celebrate a Democrat primary victory by someone, we'll need to look into more Wesley Bell. But it's really celebrating a loss, which is kind of weird too, but of Cori Bush out of Congress. And now what she is saying is that, well, she said this is actually a good thing, is how she spun it. And now she's starting to sound like a member of Hamas. Take a listen to her speech about how this is actually good for her, bite two.
All you did was take some of the strings off. Because see, now I don't have to worry about some strings that I have attached, that as much as I love my job. But all they did was radicalize me, and so now they need to be afraid. AIPAC, I'm coming to tear your kingdom down.
I mean, AIPAC, again, a pro-Israel bipartisan group in Washington that is very moderate on the issue. It is, I would say, even like the ACLJ were more outspoken on some of the more controversial issues with Israel. We also don't take a lot of time. We do our work. We do the legal work. We defend Israel. We have that position. We're clear on that, and we don't waver. So we do it very publicly. I think that's the better way to say it. They are a little bit more behind the scenes sometimes, and they're trying to link other groups. By the way, AIPAC itself is not a political action committee. That's a public affairs committee. So it doesn't actually give money to candidates. But we know that they obviously wanted to see if they could remove any of these Democrats who were so anti-Israel. They're a group that works with a lot of Democrats on both sides of the aisle, and they have a lot of Democrats working inside AIPAC, their organization. So they're able to do an important role, kind of different than what we do at the ACLJ in Washington, D.C. for Israel. But this idea that she is now radicalized. So think about the language she used. I've been radicalized and I'm coming for your kingdom. Now, what's AIPAC's kingdom? AIPAC's kingdom is not their headquarters in Washington, D.C., I don't think. I think what she's talking about is the Jewish state of Israel, Will. And what is she going to do? Go, I guess, sign on with the Students for Justice in Palestine? I don't even know if they'd want her to be their spokesperson because she's so crazy.
Well, and Jordan, this is something that we even talked about yesterday on the air, how unfortunate a time it is in America when elected officials, she's still an incumbent, she's not out of office until the beginning of next year, but that she is comfortable in saying that all you've done is taken strings off. I had to behave when I was in Congress, when she's been an outspoken critic of American values for many times, for two terms as a congresswoman from Missouri. So why are we comfortable with this type of rhetoric in America? It is now okay for someone to be openly anti-Semitic, openly anti-Jewish. And I think we should also play this. This is from, before we talk about the vice president, and this kind of segues into that, the vice presidential pick, is that this was CNN at the rally in Pennsylvania where Harris and Walz were about to start speaking. And this was their commentary about why Shapiro wasn't picked for VP. Yeah. Now, this should shock anyone that they're so openly able to have this discussion about someone not being picked because he's Jewish. Let's go ahead, and this is a video bite so people can get the whole feel of where they were and the audio and why there's echoes. Let's go ahead and play bite one.
And I think ultimately, Shapiro, I think fit is important. But, I also think that when you look at the principle of do no harm, maybe they did say, in a state like Minnesota, do we want to... Those 100,000 uncommitted voters who came out about the Gaza war, do we want to antagonize those voters? Those are all part of the questions as well.
So, but can I just say,
Tim Walz also spoke conciliatorily towards those people. He said, look, that uncommitted vote is significant and those people should be heard. So having that kind of response, I think, is probably more of an open door to the parts of the party that have been very frustrated with the Democrats.
So, but just to one point on the Gaza war, Shapiro has the same position on Israel that Governor Walz, that Senator Kelly has. He's actually been more critical of Netanyahu than the other two, but he is Jewish. And
he's also the face of the crackdown on the protests, right? He spoke very vehemently about those campus protests as being anti-Semitic.
Not all of them. The ones that were anti-Semitic, he criticized as being anti-Semitic.
But he was out front on the issue. So I'm wondering if that's the kind of thing that, again, for the activist wing of the party,
sure, absolutely,
they felt was a slap in the face.
Okay, so I mean, literally, so he's a Jew who, as Jake Tapper points out, who spoke out against the protests that were anti-Semitic, not all the protests, just the ones that were anti-Semitic. And she says, true, but you know what? That upsets the activists in our party. And you know those 100,000 are in Minnesota? Do we have the picture of Ilhan Omar and Mike and
Tim Walz?
Yeah, Tim Walz. Because remember, that's what she tweeted yesterday. Every time you hear that Tim Walz is a moderate, think about this tweet from Ilhan Omar, who is a vehement hater of the Jewish state of Israel, and she loves this pick. She loves this pick, Vice President Harris. I think it's disgusting that they can even have that conversation and feel like that's, I mean, could you imagine if it was about they were black, or what would you say about Tim Walz? Like, can we, you know, I guess a boring white guy who they make up to be a moderate, even though he's an extreme liberal, who's backed by that one of the top, top squad leaders. This is someone who is part of what we call the Hamas caucus, Ilhan Omar. And she can't get over the fact that they picked Tim Walz.
And Jordan, at the beginning of the broadcast, you mentioned the joy comment from the VP pick. And I think we should play that now. It's going to be bite eight. But especially when the commentary around the campaign is that the voters in Minnesota, the radicals in the party, would see picking Shapiro, a Jewish man who spoke out against anti-Semitism, would be a slap in the face.
Right.
That's the whole context of that discussion.
You can be critical of Netanyahu, that's not enough. You have to be critical of all Jews.
Right.
And you can't be critical of any protest, even the ones that happen to be racially motivated.
Exactly. And so yet, at the same time, that's the conversation. That's the preset of them going on stage. This is what Walz had to say about the Kamala Harris campaign. Let's go ahead and play bite eight.
Thank you, Madam Vice President, for the trust you put in me, but maybe more so, thank you for bringing back the joy.
And as you mentioned, it's just gaslighting. When the whole context around the discussion of him being picked is you are going to upset pro-Hamas anti-Semites. There's no joy in that. And if there is joy in that, that is something much deeper rooted problem within the Democrat Party. If that's what they see as joy, is getting picked because you weren't Jewish.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, there's the issues that are going to come to the forefront. We've got a lot of time. We'll talk to you about today on the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. The issues are going to be, they're going to try to bring up abortion. They're going to send him to what they say is Middle America, which he called a bunch of rocks and cows. But I guess they'll try to ignore that because he was born in Nebraska, though is the governor of Minnesota, lives in St. Paul, the capital there. And that he will somehow again play this dad role or dad vibes and moderate, and he's got gray hair and he's a Lutheran and all those kind of things. He is extreme liberal who, when his city was burning, even admitted to, took the blame for letting the city continue to erupt into flames. Yes, he served in the National Guard. I'm not going to get into a tit for tat on his service, J.D. Vance's service, because I think that's just below us as Americans. But what I do say is that don't buy that he's a moderate. Just go back to all you got to do. Maybe we should all wear the Ilhan Omar shirt as the tweet as a shirt or a bumper sticker on our car, some flag, because that's all you have to do to remind people is who are the people that were most excited about his pick. And it was the Hamas caucus that came out immediately in support of Tim Walz. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And we say that while a UN probe has found that 9 employees at UNRWA, which is the UN Relief and Works Agency inside the Gaza Strip, 9 of them were involved in the October 7th attack. So the UN was paying with dollars, of course, that we spend to the UN, for Hamas to take, you know, carry out that brutal attack. Now, remember, this goes back to very early on in the investigation that about 90% of those who worked for UNRWA at least had a family member, immediate family member, who was part of Hamas and part of the Hamas militant wing. Now, this also comes as Hamas has recognized a new leader in Sinwar. He is the militant leader. He is not a political leader in Doha. He is in Gaza being surrounded by human shields that are Israeli hostages. And, of course, some of those with also U.S. citizens. And he is still in Gaza Strip, as of now, believed to still be alive. He was made the head of Hamas after Ismail Haniyeh was taken out in Tehran. We have not yet seen the response from Iran, but folks, we're going to get a report from our director of Israel. We're back later in the broadcast. All right, folks, welcome back to Seculo. So as we have the Hamas caucus solidly behind Harris Walsh's ticket, we know that now, with both the tweet from AOC and from Ilhan Omar, who is from Minnesota, a UN probe has found that 9 UNRWA employees, as we talked about, were involved in the October 7th attack. That does not mean that they had a connection, but they were actually involved in the horrendous horrors that were committed, atrocities that were committed, the human rights violations, the war crimes, or whatever you want to call them. You could kind of list multiple different kinds of crimes, international crimes that were committed there, and of course, just terrorism generally on Israeli citizens and children, and whether they were kidnapped children who are still in custody, whether they were families that were executed, babies that were executed, women who were raped and then executed. We have seen, of course, some hostages be released. We've represented hostage families at the ACLJ and through ACLJ Jerusalem. And it's been, I will tell you, that some of the most difficult representation to do because it is such a serious and a difficult process when you know that it's, you know, you're up against some tough odds when you are not just dealing with like a nation state that may be nasty, but you're dealing with an actual terror group and trying to get people released. But we've also gone through a legal process way before the UN determined these 9. And CC, it started with, I remember very early on after the October 7th attacks, which were almost getting towards a year since those attacks, that we started seeing reports and numbers people were looking at. They were doing research about how inside UNRWA, about 90% of the staff there that was based in Gaza had an immediate family member who was part of Hamas. And then we started filing our own legal work. And I want you to update people about what the ACLJ is doing here in the U.S. as well.
Yeah. So with the UN, we started first off there. We've known about UNRWA and the United Relief and Works Agency, UN Relief and Works Agency. We've known about their problems and their ties to Hamas for a long time. So we started right after the October 7th attack. We demanded that the Secretary General of the United Nations conduct an investigation and actually do an investigation into UNRWA and all these allegations that they were directly involved with the October 7th attack. And so that did happen. That started in January. And this is the report that they have released now that, you know, they investigated 19 and that they have fired 9. But let me just put some other facts to that letter that they wrote. There's about 12,000 UNRWA workers in Gaza, and 10% of them have an actual verified link to Hamas, with thousands more having close ties to Hamas, family ties, and that's up to 50%. So they only investigated 19 people, but there are literally tens of thousands, possibly, that, you know, at least 10,000 that have connections. Their statement was very telling, too. He said, you know, UNRWA is committed to continuing upholding the fundamental principles and values of the United Nations, including the humanitarian principle of neutrality. And this is ridiculous because this is not neutrality. These are people that went in, murdered children, tortured children and women and took them hostage. And so we would hope that they would do more. So anyway, after that, we also filed a FOIA, a Freedom of Information Act, with our State Department. And we literally asked for records pertaining to the United States Department of State and UNRWA and any employee of UNRWA involved in acts in support of Hamas in the attack on Israel on October 7th. And that produced over 58,000 records. The Department of State said it would take them 150 years to process our request. And so we are continuing on with that. We had to actually sue to get them to release that number. And we are trying to get those documents.
This is specifically documents that are linked to UNRWA and Hamas.
Absolutely.
They got 58,000 documents, which they say, by the way, that's not 58,000 pages.
Right.
That's 58,000 individual documents. Of each document, there are multiple pages. Some could be 25 pages. So, I mean, we're not talking about just 58,000 pages. We're talking about 58,000 individual documents that are about the State Department fund and the U.S. government funding UNRWA and its connection to Hamas.
Yes, absolutely. 58,000 records and, I mean,
you would think
counting.
At that point, if you got 58,000 records about funding an agency and its connection to a group that your government, the United States, recognizes as a terror group, a foreign terrorist organization, maybe you shouldn't fund that entity.
Absolutely.
I mean, the answer might be in front of you. Like, why? It's almost, I'm grateful that ACLJ is able to do this work, but it's like their answer, they already have the answer. The answer is this agency has been infiltrated by a terrorist group. If you want to try and do something, you're going to have to do something new, because going through the old way at the UN is just giving money to terrorists.
Right, absolutely. And the
US
request,
taxpayer money to
terrorists.
That's
right. And the request was very specific. We talked about any employee of UNRWA involved in acts in support of Hamas in the attack on Israel on October 7th.
And there's 58,000 documents related
counting.
To that.
And counting, yes, you know, which would take them, they said, over 150 years to process.
Folks,
so that tells you they have the evidence.
And this is why we're battling at this FOIA lawsuit over the administration's funding of UNRWA after its employees helped carry out the October 7th attack. As you just heard from Cece, I mean, this is growing, and this is directly related to UNRWA employees connected to the October 7th attacks, and the State Department has over 58,000 responsive documents, not pages, documents. So probably imagine that the average of those is 5 pages or something. That's 250,000 pages. But some's going to be more. They tell you, oh, it would take us 150 years to get to this. How about that answer is right in front of you already? It's right in front of them. We almost don't even have to do any more research, because if you're that concerned that you have that many documents responsive to the terrorist problem on October 7th to the entity that you're funding, how about just stop funding that entity and try to figure out a different way if you really want to assist people in Gaza and help people in Gaza who aren't connected to Hamas and aren't going to be connected to atrocities and terrorism, that you're going to have to do it through a different entity, and the UN might not be the place to just keep throwing taxpayer money. But we're battling this over the Biden administration and Harris administration's funding of UNRWA. And again, we've got this at right now in federal court. We're also defending Israel before the ICC and, of course, the UN. As Iran, at any moment, they're putting out tweets that, you know, their response on the killing of Ismail Haniyeh could come at any time. One tweet from the leader of Hezbollah said it could be today, could be tomorrow, could be next week. Again, so also threats from Iranian proxies that are even closer to Israel. We are fighting left-wing radicalism in courts all across the U.S., including a major case defending prayer. And we do need you at the ACLJ. Your donations are felt by those under attacks around the globe. Please keep us in these fights and have your gifts doubled today at ACLJ.org, because I think what you saw last night, too. One, electorally, you can beat back the squad. But one of the squad's favorite governors got picked to be the VP nominee in one of the major parties. You know, it's either going to be Donald Trump or Harris that become president, right, in a few months from now. And that election will happen, you know, in a few months, 100 days, I think we're away, exactly 100 days. So the squad has got their VP candidate in place in one of the major parties. We've got to double down in our fight to save our country and our allies who are so important in the fight on terror. Donate today at aclj.org and double the impact of your donation. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo, folks. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110 this second half hour of the broadcast. Will Haynes, our executive producer, of course, in the studio is with me as well. Talking politics, of course, some of those politics involve Israel because, well, it came up last night, and we're going to talk about it with Jeff Balaban, who oversees ACLJ Jerusalem, is our director there. It came up last night on CNN before Tim Walz and Harris took the stage. The pick was probably made because he wasn't Jewish. And that would have excluded some of the other potential VP candidates, most notably the Pennsylvania Governor Shapiro, who got a lot of nice words said about him by Walz. But I think, again, that's because they're trying to make it not be about that, even though they openly said it's because, well, he supports Israel and he also was against anti-Semitic protest. Not all protests, by the way, on college campuses, like most people were when they were taking over college campuses on behalf of Palestinian causes, but the ones that were directly, you know, calling for, you know, they were going after Jewish students and Jewish professors. So he spoke up, and that alone upset the, you know, the activist wing of the Democrat Party. So we've got those issues to discuss as well. And of course, again, this idea that they're so full of joy. But when I see their activists, they don't seem full of joy. They seem full of hate. They're burning American flags in Washington, D.C. They're taking over college campuses. Lord knows what it's going to be like this fall when colleges start going back very soon. I mean, is it going to be an activist fall? And is Tim Walz the thank you to the squad because of Ilhan Omar's tweet, which I will keep showing and showing until election day, because she does not usually have a lot of kind words for Harris or Joe Biden, but she loves Tim Walz. So you think he's a moderate? If Ilhan Omar was one of the first ones out praising how great it was that Harris made this selection, they made this selection to please the activist anti-Israel wing of the Democrat Party, which is growing, even though one of their leaders in the squad was beat. So in the primaries, you could beat them, like Cori Bush was beat. But now she's using terms like, I've been radicalized, and I'm coming after APAC's kingdom. So I mean, she's coming after Jews, I guess, is what she's really saying. I mean, well, all of this combined, I do want to take calls to 1-800-684-3110, but it's weird. So on the one hand, they're saying they're the ones full of joy, we're not, but yet they're the ones burning American flags in the streets.
That's right. It's gaslighting the American people. It's saying that we are about something that we're not.
Is your ballots better? Are your 401ks better? Is it easier to buy a home right now? Is it easier to buy food? Is it easier to buy gas? If the answer to all of that is no, then it's not a time of joy for most Americans. And just by putting a white guy, middle American, on the ticket doesn't make him a moderate. It doesn't bring joy to Americans because his policies are the same policies that make interest rates go up, gas prices go up, because they hate the fossil fuel industry. I mean, this was a governor who wanted to go all electric, but unfortunately, and nothing against electric cars. I got to drive the Cybertruck. Pretty awesome, I have to say. pretty awesome. The kids loved it. I would say my son, he liked one of the features, the whoopee cushion feature. I'll say it that way, very nicely. And you know, it's cool. Very cool technology. But if you live in Minnesota and, you know, the temperatures go below zero oft every year, you know, it's not like a once in a 10-year thing there. It's regular. It just doesn't work yet. It's not ready for that. It's to be a reliable place. And they don't even they don't live in reality is the problem. And we all do. And the reality is things aren't great. It doesn't mean you don't have joy at church, joy in your faith, joy with your family. But you also have to be concerned because there's political violence is up. Donald Trump was shot at a political rally, and one person attending that rally was shot and killed. Isn't that, you know, maybe that's why the joy is not so high with the American people when they see their flag being burned by fellow Americans who are supporting Hezbollah and Hamas. How about support the work of the ACLJ? Get America back on track. ACLJ.org. Double your donation today. ACLJ.org. All right, welcome back to Secchio. We are joined by Jeff Balaban, who is the director of our office of ACLJ Jerusalem. And Jeff, I mean, I just wanted to make this personal for a minute for people. It's just a discussion we've had. I think it's totally fine to be open about it because it's in the news. But right now, even, you spend the majority of your time in Israel, but you do travel back to the United States. And right now, it is not, 100% about when you can even get back to Israel. I mean, just to explain that to people, because of the threats made by the Islamic Republic of Iran.
That's right. So pretty much every major airline, every airline is canceled. There are very few that are still going. My tickets are to return without specifying what day are on El Al, Israel's national airline. They are still running, but when you go on their website, they tell you they may cancel at any moment. So it's very watchful time. And the other issue is, even on a security level for foreign nationals, Israel is surrounded. There's the Mediterranean Sea on one side, but in terms of if there's conflict, so for embassy personnel, some embassies are picking up and leaving because of these threats. How are you going to get out? I mean, you can go through Jordan. Jordan isn't interested. Syria, Lebanon, which is about to be embroiled in the war. That's the problem. And so it's very difficult at this point. And Israel, really, the Israelis are alone in the world, is what they feel. And the only source of real friendship they have is the American people, and it's not the American administration. And so there's this problem. It's a devastating problem. I just heard something, I don't know how public this is, I heard it from an American source, about Israel working, I'm not going to specify what now, was one of the major, major threats to American infrastructure and life. One truly an ongoing threat to our survival. And Israel's apparently coming up with a solution that they're prepared to deploy soon, which might actually be able to help America, literally save America. The fact that Israel exists on the front lines and are fighting this war, like manning the barricades of war in our civilization, Jordan, you just said it, they're burning American flags, right? They want to come after America. And now they want to put a pro-Islamist, vice president into office with a partner, with a president who's already demonstrated antipathy towards Israel and hostility towards Israel. It's all in all, they're fighting the good fight. Thank God ACLJ is fighting this fight on so many levels. What you said, what Cece was reporting about the FOIA is astonishing. I don't want to bring this back to Israel so they'll understand it. It's a multi-front war, and basically all we can do is fight it on every front that we can.
Yeah, I mean, when you get Ilhan Omar endorsing you immediately and your vice presidential candidacy, it says it all. I mean, you don't even really have to say anything else for people who are educated about who she is. But I also want to play this for you because, Jeff, I found it so offensive, and I think Jake Tapper even did too. I tried to jump in because CNN started just airing, the anti-Semitism right out before the speeches began last night about, Shapiro and, well, he's Jewish and he supports Israel. And even though he's only been against anti-Semitic protests that were, targeting Americans in the United States and on kids on college campuses and professors, and not all protests even, that were getting out of control, that would be too upsetting to nominate him to the activist wing of one of two major political parties in the United States of America, the Democrat Party. And that is what CNN commentators were discussing moments before Waltz and Harris took the stage. Take a listen or watch.
And I think ultimately, Shapiro, I think fit is important. But I also think that when you look at the principle of do no harm, maybe they did say, in a state like Minnesota, do we want to, those 100,000 uncommitted voters who came out about the Gaza war, do we want to antagonize those voters? Those are all part of the questions as well.
So, but can I just say,
Tim Walz also spoke conciliatorily towards those people. He said, look, that uncommitted vote is significant and those people should be heard. So having that kind of response, I think, is probably more of an open door to the parts of the party that have been very frustrated with the Democrats.
So, but just to one point on the Gaza war, Shapiro has the same position on Israel that Governor Walz, that Senator Kelly has. He's actually been more critical of Netanyahu than the other two, but he is Jewish.
And he's also the face of the crackdown on the protests, right? He spoke very vehemently about those campus protests as being anti-Semitic.
Not all of them. The ones that were anti-Semitic, he criticized as being anti-Semitic.
But he was out front on the issue. So I'm wondering if that's the kind of thing that, again, for the activist wing of the party,
sure, absolutely,
they thought was a slap in the face.
It makes my blood boil because, Jeff, I mean, I thought I lived in a country where anti-Semitism was something hidden. And almost that we had made into, again, not something that you would want to be publicly talking about on cable news before a major announcement from one of the major political parties in America that they're possibly, they made the decision to not upset anti-Semites.
This is a party that not that long ago, Jordan, it wasn't 100 years ago, they had an openly observant Jew as vice president and the people loved it. And then he was tossed out of his party. I'm talking about Joe Lieberman, the late Joe Lieberman. But, you know, here's what the Democrats look like today to me. You think about every major influential group that's come in since Barack Obama. You have DSA, Democratic Socialists of America. They don't want the Jews involved. They say the Jews are the oppressor class. You have Black Lives Matter. They say the Jews have excessive privilege. You have the Women's March. They didn't want the Jews involved. LGBTQ. They don't want the Jews at the Pride March. It's not, you're right, Jordan, it's not the issue of are you pro-Israel or not. They're making it very clear. They don't want Jews in the room with them. And the Democrats have let, and I don't mean everyone is a registered Democrat, God forbid, but Democrats in this country need to know that they need to save their party, take it back from this radicalism because it's destroying America. And you could see by the fact that every one of these interest groups, they want to exclude the Jews just for being Jews. And that's what you're hearing them talking about.
Powerful enough to start influencing who you pick as VP, they're too powerful. They're not just fringe members of the party who vote for your party because that's the closest party they have running in national office, Jeff, anymore. I mean, when they become powerful enough to influence who you pick as VP, they have too much of a voice inside your party. And I don't care if I'm talking to Democrats right now or if this happened inside the Republican Party, I'd be doing the same thing and saying the same thing, that you need to do some house cleaning and get that kind of racism out of your party, especially in the United States. Saying that in the United States of America, it's sad that I'm even saying it right now, but it's true.
And, you know, the former chief rabbi of England, Lord, he has something very perceptive. He says when anti-Semitism becomes a danger to a culture, not just to Jews, it's when three things happen. When it moves from the far fringes to the mainstream of a party, that's happened. When the party sees it's not hurt by it, that's what they think is happening, and they need to be hurt by this. And then when people who try to object are vilified, and all of those things are happening now. And you're right, Jordan. Of course, anti-Semitism exists throughout history. It exists on the right, on the left. It's not a political thing. But one of the parties has now embraced it. And as you say, they're letting it choose its candidates. That's what threatens America today.
Yeah. And Jeff, again, we appreciate all of the work you're doing for ACLJ Jerusalem. And the office too, that the work that we do in Israel, to know, to keep people updated that this is not the majority or all of Americans. And of course, you know, listen, I know Jewish Democrats, not going to name them here, very pro-Israel, who are elected right now, who I'm sure are not happy with what is going on inside their party. They've been very outspoken. But as you're saying, when the bigger party apparatus feels like this is a good move, just like you were saying, that this is not going to hurt us, but it's going to help us be victorious. We're in a dangerous spot in the United States of America when they're burning the U.S. flag right outside in Washington, D.C. It shows you, again, the true enemies. Yes, yes, the enemies are Israel. The great enemy is the United States of America. And it doesn't matter who you pick to be VP there. They still believe that. So, Jeff, I want to thank you again for your work on this. Do you want to take that call real quickly? Do we have time?
Let's take it in the next segment. Right. There is one thing I also wanted to add. As Jeff said, that this isn't really a political issue. There is this dark force on both sides of the political spectrum. Yeah. One thing that I think concerns me is when you see the lack of enthusiasm of pointing this out from many evangelical Christians.
Yep.
The ones that are just fine with sitting by. That's not, obviously, our audience is not in that camp,
yeah,
but it's unfortunately a concerning group in America right now.
It's something I've been talking about with Jeff a lot.
It's anti-Christian to not call this out. I will firmly say that. But it's also concerning that they don't understand the ramifications, that we say we have a Judeo-Christian heritage, that's our morality. That's where our guiding compass is as a nation and where it should be. And when they're coming after Jewish Americans in the state of Israel, The Christians are next. This isn't just about being Jewish. It's also about eradicating everything that we hold dear as America. Yep. And so if you are on the sidelines or it's something that you just can't be bothered by, be warned.
Yeah.
You're next.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're next. Because they're burning your flag at the same rally there's coming out with that anti-Semitism. They're not just burning the Israeli flag. They're burning the American flag. So if you've got that flag at your house and they're burning it, who do you think is next? Who do you think is next? Never remain silent. You know, that's our number one. That's the number one job, you know, at ACLJ, whether it's in courts, halls of Congress, international institutions, other countries. What Jeff is doing for as our work in Israel, our work in Europe, our work at the United Nations. Never be silent in the cause of wrongdoing and wrong. And when you see this, and it's so clear, you need to support the work of the ACLJ. We have extended our Life and Liberty Drive at ACLJ.org. And you are speaking out by donating because you allow us to continue to add more team members and do more work. Donate today, ACLJ.org. Your donation, double the impact, ACLJ.org. All right, welcome back to Seculo. As Will said, we've got a lot of phone calls. I want to thank folks for hanging on the line. So we're going to go right to those phone lines at 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Brian calling in Tennessee. He's watching on YouTube. Brian, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Thanks, Brian.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I'm a big supporter of you guys. Everything you guys have said on the program today, I 100% agree with. And it kind of goes along with my comment / question. You know, since October 7th, the government and all of the people here in America just seem to just waken up to a dormant type of hatred that has been going on for anti-Semitism. And it doesn't matter whether it's going to be Kamala or Trump. It just seems like that anti-Semitism hatred is going to continue on. And, what's going to stop? I mean,
it stops, Brian. One is you don't make it mainstream. It's getting a little close to becoming mainstream in America. So it will always exist. Racism exists. Anti-Semitism exists. On both the right and the left, in politics and outside of politics. But what you don't want is ever for it to become right mainstream in major political parties. Right now, that's in the side of the Democrat Party. So even, like you said, if Republicans win, of course, it still exists. But what you do is you fight back. I mean, Donald Trump has Jewish family members, you know, his daughter, his grandkids, his son-in-law. And he's got strong support for Israel. Look at what he did in his time just in 4 years for the Jewish state of Israel. So you've got him, you got J.D. Vance, who's a strong supporter of Israel, right on the ticket. They also need to, as Will said, go back to the American people and start educating them about this anti-Semitism that you're talking about, Brian. We know it's been bubbling up on college campuses for the last decade, but it now has reached kind of this breaking point where they are no longer doing it in their clubs, they were doing it in the street. They were taking over college campuses. They were harassing Jewish student groups, harassing Jewish professors. And listen, it's personal to me. It's personal to Jeff Balaban. But I think, as Will said, it should be personal to every American, especially if you consider yourself a Christian American.
That's right. And to Brian's point as well,
but you could send it back into the shadows, if you will.
That's right. And because it's become mainstream, this is something we've been fighting at ACLJ for decades because we have been defending Jewish professors that have been discriminated against on college campuses or other various discrimination. We have been able to go and fight legally. But it also, to the point that Brian brings up about which person is elected, it doesn't matter to the ACLJ at that point about the fight because we won't stop. Obviously, if there was a Trump administration, a Department of Justice would be a lot better at going after the pro-Hamas protesters that are breaking the law and supporting terrorism. But at the end of the day, no matter what happens in the election, ACLJ will still be here and we will continue our fight. There are ways that it could be a little bit easier if you have support from a government that is against anti-Semites instead of lifting them up within their own party. But no matter what, we're not going anywhere. We will continue our fight. But let's get to another call here.
Yep.
Michael from California on line 3, watching on Rumble. Michael, you're on Seculo.
Thank you for taking my call. My comment is the fact that they want to put Trump in a box and talking about Project 2025. He has disavowed that himself. But it's amazing to me that they want to label Trump, but when the facts and evidence show what they accuse someone else of doing, they do themselves. Yeah, they even do it to their own.
Michael, Donald Trump, I think this is something we could do a better job. If you're a Trump supporter, I won't say that you have to be able to say, if you're a Trump supporter, I think what you could do is a better job of is not just say, oh, I love Donald Trump because I love his attitude. And I love J.D. Vance because I love his attitude. We should go back to those 4 years, okay, and go to the policies that worked. When we recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, did we experience more terrorism in the United States? No. We destroyed ISIS. In fact, the leader of ISIS was taken out, and ISIS was taken out. Now, when we left Afghanistan under Joe Biden, ISIS-K emerged, a new ISIS that killed 13 U.S. troops. So, I mean, that's just, you know, one thing. Was your 401k doing better? Then we were hit with COVID from China, which now is not, you know, an extreme statement to make. You couldn't even, making that statement during the COVID years gets you, got you kicked off social media. I don't even know if this broadcast would stay up right now if I said it that way. But now it's the going, you know, it's the going normal that, that it was at least created in a lab, and, it, and whether it was intentionally released or because of malfeasance or just, you know, a lab that shouldn't be messing with these kind of viruses, intentional or not, you know, they were dealing with something that was going to, of course, have an impact on the economy. But I think we all saw there was a way out of that. We didn't have to still be stuck in the COVID, post-COVID years. I think we still are economically. It feels that way in America, right? Like the way the inflation is still up, and you haven't seen cuts to interest rates, and again, all you have to do is look at your bills. And yet they're going to try to gaslight you and say, we're campaigning on joy. I want to get to joy, but there's a lot of hard work to get to joy. And when I'm talking about joy, I'm talking about joy in the sense of your economy and the big kind of things that are running America. We all should get our joy from our faith, our families, and our friends, where real joy is. It's not with money. It's not even always with government. But the government does have a role to play in making it a little bit easier for us as citizens. That is what they're supposed to be doing, is what's in our best interest. First, it's about making America great. Then we can go make the rest of the world great. And in fact, that's what Donald Trump's policies did. Peace in the Middle East was coming together. My God, peace in the Middle East was coming together with the Gulf states, and it was isolating Iran. And Iran, who could not hit back on Israel, even if they wanted to, and wouldn't even try. Now they will try. They haven't been so successful yet, and I hope and pray to God they won't be. But we saw that Hamas did, one of their proxies. They were very successful. To them, that kind of atrocity on October 7th was success. And you see, again, they are giving nods and wigs to that wing of their political party. It's why we have to speak out. It's why we have to do the work that we do at the ACLJ. It's why we're battling both this administration, the Biden-Harris administration. It's why we're battling at the United Nations. It's why, as Christians, you need to speak up as well on anti-Semitism. I mean, we're not going to be a country full of joy if we're a country full of hate to our allies. We are not going to be a country full of joy when we're burning our own flag in the streets of Washington, D.C., because of an anti-Semitism. You're not going to be a country of joy if that becomes mainstream. It's not a country of joy if Democrats, presidential candidates, have to pick their nominee because they don't want to upset anti-Semites in their party. So they can't pick a Jewish nominee, even if he's been critical of some decisions by an Israeli president. That's not enough because he's Jewish and he's against anti-Semitism. He was a leader against anti-Semitism, and so he cannot be a VP nominee. And they say that on CNN. That's not hidden away in some Democrat chat room. That's on CNN right before the first event with the new vice presidential pick from a major U.S. political party. The ACLJ is here to fight back in the United States, in Europe, at the United Nations, and in the Middle East, and in Pakistan, around the world. Support the work of the ACLJ during our Life and Liberty Drive. Double the impact of your donation. Folks, I don't think I need to tell you any more reasons why you need to support our work right now. Go to aclj.org. Double the impact of your donation. Let's do it together. Let's fight back. And let's put this back into the chat rooms instead of into the announcements. aclj.org. Donate.